Have you ever dreamed of joining the exciting world of broadcasting? I'm talking about 790 Talk Now, talk that rocks. Right now, 790 Talk Now is expanding. We're seeking motivated self-starters with radio production experience and an interest in producing compelling talk radio shows like Live and Local Now and Wayne Allen Root's War Now. These are paid positions for real money. If you want to be a part of our 790 Talk Now team, call Debbie at 760-851-9447. That's 760-851-9447.
The U.S.-Mexican border is overrun by Mexican drug cartels, drug trafficking, human trafficking, sex trafficking, illegal immigration, and violence. President Trump asked governors in the Southwest to send National Guard troops to the border to help out just until he builds a wall. Adam Laxalt said if elected governor, he will refuse President Trump's request to send Nevada National Guard troops to the border. But Ryan Bundy will work with President Trump and defend our border. Vote Ryan Bundy for Nevada governor. Paid for by Ryan Bundy for governor campaign.
Gather around!
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out. Step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people, a lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four, hang out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's Live and Local Now for a Monday, brand new week. And, of course, on Mondays, we get a chance to visit with three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We're talking about Victor Jakes, who joins us in studio for, another few weeks. He will be a citizen soldier, and then he will end his commitment to our military. Good to have you with us, man.
Great to be here. Thank you.
When are you done? When are you done with your reserve status?
December.
That's like a month away.
It's very close.
So. I love that. Everybody talking about Pittsburgh and the tragedy. Your spin on this, as far as again, major loss of life, 11 dead, and just senseless. And this clearly anti-Semitic.
Yeah, I mean, clearly racially driven. Just a horrific tragedy. I think it's a mistake to try and assign political motives to crazy people. Well, I mean, political blame to politicians that crazy people like, you know, after the gentleman, that's the wrong word, but I think it was the sniper in Dallas, or the guy in Dallas killed police officers, you know, and he was a big Black Lives Matters people, and Obama had been, you know, basically trashing police departments as inherently racist. It would not have been correct to blame Barack Obama for that. And so it's a horrible tragedy, and we should all mourn it and, you know, repudiate it. But let's try and leave the political blame shifting out of it.
Well, but we are a week away from a midterm election. I mean, you know, and you know the other side.
I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Is looking for anything to pin on this president and his policies.
Well, that's very true, and I have no doubt. I mean, we saw with the bombing. I saw on Twitter a great side by side. You know, the bombing suspect in the Washington Post was labeled basically as a Trump supporter. The Bernie Sanders supporter who shot Congress people at the congressional baseball practice was, you know, baseball shooter arrested or congressional shooter arrested. And so, you know, again, you see the double standard here. But I think the correct standard is that, look, unless you are specifically calling for violence, you are not responsible for what someone who claims to follow you does.
So, in other words, Eric Holder, when he says to kick him, when Hillary says, "Oh, you can't be civil with these people," I mean, should they be held accountable?
I think those are more generic in terms of you know, what that's just charged political rhetoric. And if you want to say it would be better if everyone took down the temperature, including the president, I would agree with you. Now, when you're Maxine Waters and you say go harass people, I mean, that's, I mean, obviously she's not calling for violence, but, you know, she is directly saying go harass people, like the idiots who accosted Senator Cruz and his wife. You know,
Sarah Huckabee Sanders,
Mitch McConnell. My favorite was
no. And the people I fear for are not those people, but they're the people in that restaurant that came for a quiet, intimate dinner with a girlfriend or a wife or a spouse or whatever, and all of a sudden they're watching reality TV right in their little a boutique restaurant.
Yeah, I mean it's just rude. It's just bad manners. It's just pathetic, really, and it shouldn't be done by anyone on either side. My favorite is Senator Mitch McConnell and his wife getting attacked in a Kentucky restaurant. Basically, the restaurant's like booing the protesters out of there, and then Mitch McConnell's wife, what's her name, Elaine Chu, like starts chewing them out.
No. So. As they should. My question is, and I'm watching CNN this morning when I'm getting dressed for work. And all of a sudden I'm hearing people, you know, the anchor folks, you know, asking pointed questions. Well, who do you think's at fault? You know, anybody in particular? Maybe with the last name of Trump? I mean, it was almost that bad. That's kind of a joke.
Straight news on CNN. Remember?
No, I just hate it though. But I watch it because you got to see what opposition research is all about. I want to ask you though the president was very quick, the vice president, in a visit here in Las Vegas, very quick to call for the death penalty. Is this a death penalty case?
Yeah, I think it is a death penalty case. And, you know, when you talk about the death penalty, I think there's actually a lot of strong arguments against the death penalty in terms of, do we really trust the government to get it right? And, you know, that's a big penalty. But then you go to the flip side and you look at events like this and you say, well, this is why we have the death penalty, because this is a horrific attack. And you think of things like the Boston Marathon bombing, the Las Vegas shooting, had the shooter survived. All of those things, you know, are things that just call out for the death penalty. And so I'm actually very sympathetic to some of the anti-death penalty arguments. But in terms of just having it on the books for situations like this, I think it's necessary.
How did you like the way the president played it? I mean, I thought very conciliatory, very presidential. I thought he was excellent.
Yeah, he did the right things. I mean, this is I don't know if a unifying moment's quite the right term, but it's something that, you know, 99% of the country, 99.9% of the country, everyone thinks the same thing, which is, who cares what your rhetoric is? Who cares what your politics is? Who cares what your religion is? I mean, this is disgusting, horrible behavior, and it should be condemned. And you have to point out that, you know, the same press that's showing Louis Farrakhan next to Bill Clinton at Aretha Franklin's funeral, you know, just accepting him as a member of the Democrat Party, and he says last week that, no, he's not anti-Semitic, he's anti-termite. You know, let's have a little less Louis Farrakhan going forward.
I'm just curious. I believe that what this is an effort on the left to muzzle the president of the United States. To quote, you know, when you say tone down the rhetoric, that to me says muzzle the president. What say you? I'm just curious. I mean, the president, I think, except maybe inferences when they were hauling out some protests, well, don't hurt him. And then he said, but I'll pay for your legal bills if you do. Other than little off-the-cuff, funny stuff, the president, I don't think, on a normal basis, calls for violence on the media. He loves it when they yell, CNN sucks, and it becomes a chant, and 8,000, 10,000 people are chanting the same thing. He loves it. Now, the question is, should the president, quote, tone down his rhetoric, or is that muzzling the president?
Well, I mean, some of the rhetoric I think you should tone down. I mean, I put Trump's rhetoric more in the Eric Holder, you know, when they go low, we kick them category. You think about last week, 2 weeks ago, he was at that rally in Montana, and he, you know, started basically praising the congressman who actually physically body slammed a reporter. I mean, that was terrible. I mean, that was just your message is mobs, not jobs, and very good message, you know, resonates with people, and then you just off the cuff start praising this guy. And what's funny is I'm sure the congressman was mortified. Like, why are you bringing up my worst moment?
Paid my debts to society. I've done my community service. I want to move on from this.
I want to move on. Yeah. And so, you know, and if you talk to people in the media, they really do not like the rhetoric of enemy of the people. And, you know, I don't think that's super helpful rhetoric. I think what the president means is political opponents of my supporters. That's how, you know, when he says enemy of the people, I think that's how Republicans and Trump supporters hear it. But the media hears that as like, oh, well, you think we're the Soviets or something. I think that's another bit of rhetoric that he could step away from and not lose any of his messaging or his power, but take away a lot of the negative connotations.
I know you work for a newspaper owned by Sheldon Adelson. So maybe this doesn't pertain to you, but I know we've heard from Jim Acosta of CNN that he literally fears for his life, and others in the media fear for their lives, thinking that some crazed individual is going to want to take out a member of the media, the fake news media, every time they yell CNN sucks, CNN sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I think some reporters are worried. I mean, Jim Acosta is probably not the one I would cite, just because he loves Jim Acosta very much and likes to make himself the center of the story. And, you know, what's funny is after those rallies, people will come up to Jim Acosta and, like, ask for his autograph and pose for pictures and stuff. And so, you know, I think there's a little bit of a disconnect between, like, oh, Trump's whipping these people up into a frenzy, and they're just like at the barricades of the media cage, and they're shaking them and ready to tear them down, and that's not happening. But I mean, you know, are you concerned as a press person that, well, look, there's crazy people in the country, and when Trump raises the temperature against the press, one of those crazy people might go off. And I mean, honestly, in today's environment, one crazy person on either side could go off. I mean, so. You know, when the temperature keeps getting raised with political rhetoric, I think that is a broad concern, even if you can't, you know, place the blame on one specific person.
Victor Jakes, 3-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review Journal, joining us. More to come as we continue. His latest column, by the way, about Aaron Ford and some freedom of information stuff relative to body cams. We'll get to that and more coming up. Live and local now. Over Nevada. Do I have your attention? Hey, Kevin Wall here with a very important message for all Nevadans. If you want to stop Nancy Pelosi and elitist out-of-state liberals from invading our state, you've got to get out and vote for Danny Tarkanian. Danny is the Trump-endorsed conservative candidate for Congress. He's a fighter, offering real solutions for Nevada families. Solutions like school choice. Danny believes that you as parents deserve a say in how your tax dollars are spent and which education system is best for your children. And Danny will work hard with President Trump to finally secure our borders. For our safety and security, it's an absolute must. In Congress, Danny will strengthen our country and our state by supporting the America First agenda that's already making America great again. Congress has been broken for a long time, folks, and that's why we need Danny Tarkanian's common sense approach. He'll get things done in Washington. I urge you to do the right thing for Nevada and for America and support our friend Danny Tarkanian for Congress.
I'm Danny Tarkanian, and I approve this message, paid for by Tarkanian for Congress.
Two men, two different paths. Las Vegas politician Steve Sisolak started as a telemarketer, hounding Nevadans with calls during dinner. Then he became a politician, first a university regent, doubling tuition prices on Nevada students. And later as a Clark County commissioner, where Sisolak was called corrupt by a judge, investigated by the FBI. Sisolak has reportedly handed out government contracts to his Las Vegas contributors. Then there's Adam Laxalt. Laxalt served our nation in uniform, volunteered for Iraq, taught at the Naval Academy, became America's youngest attorney general. Laxalt tackled opioid abuse, prosecuted elder fraud, fought for our local land and water rights, and has successfully led the way in protecting our constitutional rights as Nevadans. Sisolak and Laxalt, which one for governor? Sisolak, who has always looked out for himself, or Adam Laxalt, who has always looked out for you? Paid for by Laxalt for Nevada.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty Health Share. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
I am Jim Marchant, and I'm running for re-election for Assembly District 37. I will vote against any effort to raise your property taxes, against allowing Nevada to become a sanctuary state, against continued efforts to violate your Second Amendment rights, and against school districts being able to levy taxes on you. This is the most critical election in our history, and it is very important that you get out and vote for candidates like me that believe as you do. I am Jim Marchant, and I humbly ask for your support and vote. Paid for by the committee to elect Jim Marchant.
Although Republican State Assembly candidate Dennis Hoff passed away just 3 weeks before Election Day, his name is still on the ballot. And if he wins, county commissioners would have to appoint another Republican to serve out his term. That's why Republicans need him to win District 36, to keep Democrats from stealing the seat and getting a supermajority advantage. That would allow them to pass tax hikes and override gubernatorial vetoes. For more information, go to keep36red.com. That's keep36red.com. And let's win this one for Dennis. Paid for by Friends of Hoff.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal too, it's live and local now. Coming up a little bit later on in the program, Eric Trump will join us. Eric Trump will join us. He's in town for yet another fundraiser. He was just here just a couple of weeks ago.
He can't stay away.
He loves it here. Eric Trump will join us just after 10:30, because at 10 o'clock we got Michelle Fiore. And I don't know about you, but I, as a reporter and a member of the media, you must love Michelle Fiore. Because she gives the best copy of anybody I know of.
She really does. She will tell you what she's thinking.
I want to ask you. You guys have been busy at the RJ. Apparently, there is a FOIA request for body cam footage of Aaron Ford, who is running for attorney general. He wants to be our chief law enforcement officer, and yet is very much a part of this deal involving his son a few years ago.
Yeah, so what happened is last November there was an incident where Aaron Ford's son was arrested, and he went there, right? His son's a juvenile. Cops called the parents, and the Republican Attorney General's Association got a tip that Senator Ford basically tried to use his position as a state senator to benefit his child. And so they... You know, now police all wear body cameras, so we don't have to go on tips. We can actually see what happened. And so they submit a public records request, and Metro, being one of the worst organizations in the state for public records request, of course, stalls, denies. RAGA, the Republican Attorney General Association, eventually submits 4 requests, and Metro just stalls and denies. And so they eventually sue. I think that was, 4 or 6 weeks ago. They sue for the body camera footage. And so, Aaron Ford's coming out and saying, oh, this is just an attack on my family, and you're trying to drag my son's name through the mud. And what's so ironic about this is that in 2015, Senator Ford sponsored the bill to get body cameras on highway patrolmen. And then he sponsored the bill last year to mandate at every officer of the state who frequently interacts with the public wear a body camera. And you go back through his testimony, and by the way, I think he was exactly right about body cameras. I think he's correct that they bring transparency and accountability to the policing process, and we don't have to guess.
But if we can't use the footage, then what good is it to have body cams on anybody?
And that's exactly the point. So, you know, Senator Ford was supportive of body cameras until he was the one on the body camera. And so, you know, you have to be able to see. You know, I don't want to guess. Do I think that Senator Ford did something wrong? Well, I don't know. But I would like to see the evidence that would tell us.
The body cam will tell us.
The body camera will tell us. And, you know, is it suspicious that Metro and, you know, with Ford's public support has been fighting this request so hard? Yes, that is suspicious. And it's just on a broader level, it's very concerning, because if you create this exemption where, you know, if there's a juvenile on the body camera, the public can't see the body camera. I mean, that's a massive exemption to a tool that should have been, that's supposed to be public, the body camera footage. And so this case is currently before the state Supreme Court, and hopefully we get a ruling here any day. But you know, regardless of what happens, if it happens before the election or after, the Supreme Court needs to rule the right way on this to keep that footage public.
We are just over a week away from a midterm election. Your sense of where we are, big races, Heller, Jackie Rosen, Sisolak, Adam Laxalt, Danny Tarkanian, Susie Lee. You got a tight race, Horsford and Crescent Hardy. By the way, Eric Trump's coming in for him today.
Yeah, so I mean, I think what you're going to see is that it's close. What you saw, you know, in that we got 2 weeks of early voting. If you go back to 2016, Democrats had a 27,000 vote lead at the end of week one of early voting. In Clark County, it was almost 50,000 votes. And so, you know, when you look at that and you look at how big the state is and the party registration, I mean, 2 years ago, you could say, boy, Republicans were in a lot of trouble. And newsflash, they were in a lot of trouble. They were down 27,000 votes at the end of week one, and Hillary and Cortez Masto both won by 27,000 votes. So this year, Republicans were down by less than 4,000 votes at the end of week one. Which was a very encouraging sign. I don't think that means that, oh, it's for sure that they're going to win. I think that means that they're not getting the doors blown off. Democrats had a very good showing over the weekend. I want to say they probably pushed their lead to like 12,000 votes statewide, 10 to 12,000 votes. And so we'll see what happens the rest of the week. You know, Republicans generally turn out stronger on Election Day. And so that, you know, if they can keep it close until then I think they have a good shot. I've seen some private polling showing Laxalt and Heller ahead, but barely. And, you know, I continue to think that those CD3, CD4 races are going to be very close. The fact that, you know, the vice president came, Eric Trump's came, is a good sign for Crescent. I still think that's a really tough race.
And we'll be here for Election Eve. As and early voting continues,
it ends Friday. So if you are out there and you, I mean, just go do it. Just go vote.
I love that. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. We'll see you next Monday.
Look forward to it.
That's Victor Jakes, 3-time-a-week columnist in the Las Vegas Review Journal. Stick around. What went on in the last 24 hours? What happened in Pittsburgh? We're going to talk about a lot of that going on live and local now.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It's live and local now. Good to have you with us. Don't forget, coming up this afternoon at 2 at the Summerlin Field Office at 3200 Soaring Gulls Drive, Suite 102, Eric and Lara Trump are going to be in town rallying for Crescent Hardy. I was at a rally over the weekend on Saturday for Crescent Hardy, featuring the Vice President of the United States. Got a chance to meet him. If you check my Twitter account, at Kevin Wall Radio, you want to follow me, at Kevin Wall Radio, and you can see the picture of me and the Vice President. I had a chance to visit with him briefly because he and I used to talk all the time when I filled in for Bill Bennett on Bill Bennett's Morning in America, the nationwide show that was on for, 20-some-odd years. And so we became, and he said, I remember, oh, God, we've never met, and now we get a chance. So it was really nice. It was very nice. It was weird. I had a picture taken with him that I put on my Twitter account, and it was kind of funny. I guess it wasn't all that funny, but I'm there kind of on a rope line, but he's right next to me. I mean, I can touch him. And so we got ready for this photo that, by the way, I posted on Twitter. And a great photo, but I could feel, and of course, when you do this, I take, hundreds of these photos every month at various events. People want their picture taken with you, so you put their arm around it. So I put my arm around the Vice President, and we're sitting there smiling, and people are taking pictures of us. It was great, great moment. But I feel a firm but gentle hand taking my hand off the back of the Vice President. It was a Secret Service agent, and he wasn't smiling. He wasn't laughing. He didn't view this as overly funny. And I'm like, ooh, okay. But it was neat. But anyway, there's an event coming up this afternoon at the Summerlin Field Office. And again, that address, 3200 Soaring Gulls Drive in Las Vegas. And it's, again, it's up in Summerlin, the Summerlin Field Office. Meet Eric and Lara. They are both delightful people. We've had both of them on the show. Eric probably more than Lara. But really nice lady, nice guy. And you'll have fun meeting him, I promise you. But check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be lots of fun. I want to get to the audio sound bites because I figured out over the weekend what this is all about. And now after Pittsburgh, who do you think's at fault for this anti-Semitic behavior? That's like tossing a belt-high changeup to a member of the Boston Red Sox, the World Series champions. They'll hit it out of the park. And you do this on MSNBC, you do this on CNN, and you know what the response is going to be. But it finally occurred to me what this is all about. This is all about muzzling the President of the United States. They don't want the President to be able to go to rallies where they chant, CNN sucks. I mean, even Chuck Todd, this cut one. Chuck Todd was on Meet the Press yesterday. And again, our promise to you is we will watch the mindless, mind-numbing Sunday shows so you don't have to. So you can go to brunch. So you can go to church, play golf, do whatever you want to do. We watch them for you. But this was Chuck Todd trying to muzzle free speech in the name of what they call civility.
It's hard not to look at it and see that it is connected. We've seen this rise in sort of a hot political rhetoric. We've seen a rise in anti-Semitic attacks. We've seen a rise in hate-filled speech. And there's been this concern, somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get hurt. And yet somebody died after Charlottesville. And we said, well, boy, we got to tone it down. Somebody's going to get hurt. And then when this week began, before yesterday, Willie, one of the things I thought we could say was, well, at least somebody didn't get hurt. And then Pittsburgh happened, and obviously somebody got. So we have a problem, and we have a president who doesn't seem to believe he has a role to play in dealing with it. And I think that is what is making this more of a uncomfortable situation in our politics.
I beg to differ. I mean, the hot rhetoric, which, by the way, is on both sides, what you're asking for is unilateral disarmament. And I don't think that's fair. Because if you tell the president of the United States to tone down the rhetoric, then you better tell Hillary Clinton. By the way, did you see where Hillary Clinton says she'd still like to be president and she's not counting out a 2020 run? You know she's running. Democrats don't want her. Am I right to my Democrat friends? You want nothing to do with Hillary Rodham Clinton? Guess not. Anyway, did I mention who's coming up at the top of the hour? The new National Republican Committee woman to the RNC, Michelle Fiore, Las Vegas City Council member, will join us. Very excited about that. And by the way, her election was unanimous. Did you know that? Wow. Then after Michelle Fiore, Eric Trump will join us. Son of President Donald J. Trump. He had, in fact, he had some interesting things to say. In fact, let's go to cut three real quick, because he was on, I saw him on over the weekend with Judge Jeanine. And he said something really smart, that we need to pull politics out of events like Pittsburgh. This is cut number three. Eric Trump, go.
At the end of the day, this is obviously a very sick, deranged human, subhuman. He shouldn't even be called a human, but, you know, I mean, it's a very, very sick, deranged person. They did this. And, you know, it seems like we've gotten to a point in life and society where everything has to be kind of politicized. Everything has to be, you know, somebody has to point the, you know, political finger to absolutely everything. I mean, at the end of this day, this guy is a sick, sick, sick person. He did the most unthinkable thing imaginable. He went to a place of worship, shot it up. Again, there are 11 people who are dead now because of it. And, you know, I think we should actually try and pull politics out of some of these things. I mean, this person doesn't represent the left. He doesn't represent the right. The person was sick, deranged. And again, I truly, truly hope, if found guilty, which he will be, that he gets the death penalty.
There's a lot of feeling. Now, the other side of that coin is, can you execute somebody who is deranged, who is mentally ill? And that may be tough sledding to do. Now, the president himself was in Murfreesboro, Illinois. This is cut four. And I want you to hear the president. I thought he acted very presidential, very conciliatory. And he mourned the losses, the 11 people dead in Pittsburgh. This was the president in Murfreesboro, Illinois.
Before going any further, I want to address the horrible shooting that took place earlier today. The hearts of all Americans are filled with grief following the monstrous killing of Jewish Americans at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You've all seen it. You've been watching it. It's horrible. The suspect is in custody. The federal authorities are on the scene and leading an aggressive federal investigation. State and local law enforcement has been incredible. This evil anti-Semitic attack is an assault on all of us. It's an assault on humanity. It will require all of us working together to extract the hateful poison of anti-Semitism from our world. This was an anti-Semitic attack at its worst. The scourge of anti-Semitism cannot be ignored, cannot be tolerated, and it cannot be allowed to continue. We can't allow it to continue. It must be confronted and condemned everywhere it rears its very ugly head. We must stand with our Jewish brothers and sisters to defeat anti-Semitism and vanquish the forces of hate. That's what it is. Through the centuries, the Jews have endured terrible persecution, and you know that. We've all read it, we've studied it. They've gone through a lot. And those seeking their destruction, we will seek their destruction. And when you have crimes like this, whether it's this one or another one on another group, we have to bring back the death penalty. They have to pay the ultimate price. They have to pay the ultimate price. They can't do this. They can't do this to our country. We must draw a line in the sand and say very strongly, never again.
I thought the president struck exactly the right note. And again, this was a rally speech. This was a rally speech. This wasn't, the other more sedate type of speech that the president has done, like from the Oval Office or from the White House. This was a rally speech. I thought he did it really well. And I thought the crowd responded really well. It was weird. I will tell you this. It just shows you how, some people know exactly what's going on. And other people, they're not glued to cable news, so they really don't. At our rally, at 11 o'clock on Saturday, for Crescent Hardy, Vice President Pence was in town for that. And it was weird when Mike Pence let the crowd in on what had been going on in Pittsburgh. There was an audible gasp. People who did not know that 11 people had died. 3 cops had been shot. Didn't know. And so this was a shock to them. We're going to take a quick break. You want to join us? You want to be a part of the show? You can. In fact, I'll tell you what, on the other side of the break, we'll get to your calls. Paul will be first leading off. Everybody else behind Paul. You want to join us? You want to be a part of the show? 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. We'll get to your calls coming up on the other side. Your reaction to the tragedy in Pittsburgh. This stuff keeps on happening. In this particular case, an obvious hate crime. I don't think there's any doubt in just about anybody's mind that this guy was one sick cookie. We'll talk about it. And by the way, use of the death penalty on somebody the president calls deranged. Is that possible to do? Can we execute somebody who is clearly deranged? We'll talk about that coming up. I'm Kevin Wall. The program is live and local now.
This is James Dean Levitt, and I am running for judge. For the past 35 years as a missionary, lawyer, regent, and candidate for judge, I have dedicated my life to helping young men and women discover their unlimited potential in becoming productive members of society and inspiring them to change and improve their lives. This is why I am running to be the next judge in Justice Court Department 1, and I am humbly asking for your vote. Paid for by the committee to elect James Dean Levitt.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. This election will impact the direction of Nevada politics for many years to come. During last year's state legislative session, the Democrats nearly passed bills that would have made Nevada a sanctuary state, raised our taxes, increased regulations on our businesses, limited parent school choice, and violated our Second Amendment rights. If we don't elect Republicans throughout the state of Nevada on November 6th, these bills will pass during next year's legislative session. I urge you to vote and vote for Republicans up and down the ballot. And I urge you to vote no on ballot issue question 5. A no vote on question 5 is essential to maintain fair elections. A yes vote opens the door for voter fraud. California has acknowledged that 25,000 people were illegally registered to vote after they passed a similar law. This message has been paid for by the Nevada Federation of Republican Women. To find their club in your area, visit nvfrw.org. That's nvfrw.org.
My fellow conservatives, we have a horrible epidemic in our country and we must stop it from coming to Nevada. Mass school shootings. These happen because schools are gun-free zones, easy targets for violent murderers. I'm Joel Hanson, candidate for Nevada Attorney General. I'll promote laws to allow willing teachers to keep a firearm in their classroom to defend our school children from mass killers. Teachers have Second Amendment rights. Please visit my website at votejoelhanson.com.
Paid for by friends of Joel Hanson.
Hello, my name is Richard MacArthur. I'm running for re-election in Assembly District 4, which is in the northwest part of Las Vegas. I've lived in Las Vegas for 38 years and want Nevada to be a good place to live and work, raise a family, feel safe, and be able to start a business. I support lower taxes, limited government, the right to keep and bear arms, school choice, and voter ID. I'm opposed to sanctuary cities and amnesty for illegals. I humbly ask for your vote in the general election in November. Again, Richard MacArthur, Assembly District 4. Paid for by the committee to elect Richard MacArthur.
Nevada candidate for governor Steve Sisolak wants to prevent you from protecting your home and family from criminals. Sisolak is following the lead of radical anti-gun senator Dianne Feinstein, whose newest assault weapons ban includes most of the handguns and semi-automatic rifles Americans use to protect them and their families. In fact, Feinstein said if she could, she would ban all guns. And Steve Sisolak is following her lead. That's why anti-gun groups like Everytown USA, funded by Michael Bloomberg, have poured millions of dollars into races for candidates like Sisolak this year. Sisolak's agenda is simple: to ban semi-automatic firearms, allow government bureaucrats to seize your guns without any court hearing, and maintain a government list of every American who owns a gun. That's why Gun Owners of America is proud to endorse Nevada Attorney General Adam Laxalt for governor. Adam Laxalt will defend the Constitution and your right to protect your home and family from criminals. Paid for by Gun Owners of America.
Shouldn't Nevada have a lieutenant governor who is both trustworthy and competent and at least knows what that job is about? Number one, refereeing the conflicts between the Democrats and Republicans. Number two, bringing more tourists to Nevada. Just as no one picks the referee from one of the teams, I, as a nonpartisan, will be fair and objective in breaking tie votes in the Senate. As the only lieutenant governor candidate with international experience, I know how we can double the number of tourists to Nevada. My name is Ed Uhling, paid for by the friends of Ed Uhling.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Las Vegas City Councilwoman Michelle Fiore joins us. She is the new national committee woman for the RNC. She was elected unanimously over the weekend. Congratulations to Michelle Fiore. Very happy about that. Let's go to Paul. Paul, you're up and you're on. Live and local now. Go right ahead.
Asked to deliver a message. Some of the gentlemen that I enjoy the shooting sports with are of the Jewish faith, and they asked me to relay this message because they know I go on your program, and your program covers the state. And here is the message. All Jewish schools and Jewish synagogues in the state of Nevada are now under surveillance by armed Jewish American war veterans. So should there be anybody listening to the sound of my voice that figures, ah, what a good start, let me continue it and have some evil intent in mind. If you go anywhere near a synagogue or a Jewish school and these well-trained, well-armed individuals see you, you will be terminated with extreme prejudice. They're not going to talk to you. They're going to do what needs to be done, and they've asked me to pass that on. So there won't be a synagogue here where they're going to have to wait 20 minutes for someone armed to arrive. They're already there. So I've done what I was asked to do, Kevin, and I hope you have a great day.
Paul, thank you very much. I appreciate it. A pretty stark message. And it would not surprise me, by the way, if there aren't people looking to do what that crazed idiot did in Pittsburgh, to do it in Schenectady and Oklahoma City and Auburn, Alabama, and maybe, just maybe, somewhere here in the state of Nevada. Wouldn't surprise me at all. There are a bunch of sick people out there. Now, the question is, how do we fix this? There is a lot of hatred out there. Muzzling the president, I don't think, is the answer. Muzzling the president, I don't think, is going to fix what's sick in America. Anyway, you want to join us? You want, and by the way, Paul was sincere. And he was passing, he was passing along a message. And to those of you that would think of doing what this crazed lunatic did in Pittsburgh, you might think again. Because you won't get a trial. You won't get a negotiation. And Paul even said, we're not there to talk to you. We are there to, deal with you with extreme prejudice. That means kill you. No, just so everybody knows. Now, whether it's shoot on sight or not, I don't know. Frank, you're up and you're on Live and Local Now. Go right ahead.
Kevin, let's tone it down, okay? There are phrases, and, when you get to our age, and I used to be very literal, but you better learn how to read between the lines. You better learn how, when that German Shepherd tail goes straight up and the hair's on his back and he's showing his teeth and not even growling, he's saying something to you. Tone it down. Kevin, don't you dare. You dare quit pointing out the facts. Don't you dare quit telling the truth. One quick story, and you remember this one, Kevin. And the media, very few media, Israel. Four Muslims broke into a Jewish temple on a very big holiday. They got lit up like Christmas trees. The one that lived, Kevin, you remember what he said? We didn't know they were allowed to carry guns. Bring back the Wild Wild West.
There you go. I'll be honest with you. Somebody called last week, and I forget what the gist of what they were saying, but and the thing was, well, tone down the rhetoric. The answer is not to tone down the rhetoric. It is to make sure that we have a quick response when people who want to take away our liberty step forward, armed. I mean, I'm just saying, whether it's an anti-Semitic guy in Pittsburgh or if it happens in Homestead, Florida, or it happens anywhere in America or even right here in Nevada, we need to be ready. Thank God for the Second Amendment. Stick around. Michelle Fiore will join us. Her reaction to the tragedy in Pittsburgh and also to her election unanimously as a national committee woman for the state of Nevada. That's pretty darn cool. And by the way, did I mention it was unanimous? More to come as we continue. My name is Kevin Wall. The program Live and Local now. Hey, Kevin Wall here. I trust Adam Laxalt to protect Nevada's identity and our values as governor. As Attorney General, he protected us from sanctuary cities and threats to free speech. His opponent, known as Shady Steve Sisolak, was called corrupt by a judge for trying to give government contracts to political cronies. He claims every tax is on the table and plans on raising our property taxes. As governor, Adam Laxalt will keep Nevada prosperous and free and keep us from turning into California. Early voting begins October 20th, paid for by Laxalt for Nevada.
The Moving Wall, the traveling Vietnam Veterans War Memorial, will be in Las Vegas Thursday, November 1st through Sunday, the 4th, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. each day. The 3,400-foot half-size replica is open to the public and free of charge. Join dignitaries and Vietnam groups 11:45 Friday and 11:45 Saturday, a full turkey luncheon served to all veterans from all wars in service. I'm Jacob Jimerson on behalf of the Jimerson Law Firm, sponsor for this war memorial, inviting you to the memorial site 500 South Las Vegas Boulevard next to the Nevada Supreme Court building.